Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts. On Google, well, excuse me, on Android, we recommend, there's no more Google Podcasts. On Android, we recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out the Discord server, Off the Floor, $2.99 per month. You're going to want to be on it for free agency. Trust me, the information is going to go there first, not Twitter. Check it out, $2.99 per month. The link is right here in the description on the podcast feed and on the YouTube channel. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Yes, the NBA and NHL are on hiatus now, but plenty to do on Prize Picks. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. Legal again in the state of Florida. That's right. You can play baseball there, MLS, MMA, esports. It's all still there. PrizePicks.com. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscay. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck the same. You in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I've got Eternal Bast. You can follow him at Eternal Bast on Twitter. He's making a face right now, which you do. Bad coffee there. We appreciate everybody who filled in. I was actually up in New York. Got a chance to interview Ware right after he was picked. Decided to make that trip because there was nobody, was nothing going on at the arena this year because they had a concert. So went up to New York. And I want to thank the Heat for accommodating me up there and taking care of me up there. And then obviously during the second round, first and second rounds, we had playback. Eternal's a host on there. Make sure you're downloading the app, the playback app, or playback.tv/5RSN, and you can get all of our content there. Not just the Heat, but a lot of Heat stuff if you go there. All right, so now we're in the pivot mode. The draft is over. First round pick, Khalil Ware, has been introduced. Am I pronouncing that correctly, by the way? Because I've been told both ways, Eternal. Khalil.
It's so funny that you say that because when Pat introduced him, he said Khalil.
Right.
For most of what I've heard, it's been Khalil. So, you know, he doesn't seem like the type to, like, really ruffle feathers like that.
Yeah.
He didn't really correct Pat. So I guess we'll find out, you know, during summer league, how to really pronounce his name the more he talks or whatever.
I should have introduced him more directly with his name because I think he would have been okay correcting me, but maybe not correcting Pat. Yeah. So we'll figure, like you said, we'll figure that out as we go forward. I mean, you know, the Jaime Jaquez, that one took a little bit of time.
Oh, first, my Dwayne God.
Wade, right? Dwayne Wade wasn't a pronunciation problem. It was a spelling problem until I got my phone to autocorrect. So, again, we'll figure that out as we go forward here, but Miami Heat did make two picks in one trade. Although the trade is really non-consequential, and I don't want to hear it in the future that they could have had the guy that they took. When they take a player, it's for someone else. Okay, this is going back to the old Marcus Thornton thing or the Bogdanovich thing.
The Bol Bol.
Or Bol Bol is the primary thing. Like, it does not mean they were going to take the player. Something was set up for someone else, but they do take Pel Larson, who again is 6'6". For Utah and then Arizona, and we'll talk more about him as we go, but basically I want to thank Brady, Alex, for filling in on the podcast about him, so make sure that you check that out. Last year he averaged 12.8 points and 3.7 assists while shooting 43% from behind the arc. But this is pivot time now because free agency is starting. I want to thank one of the Heat's free agents, Haywood Highsmith, for taking a picture of my daughter at Heat camp. My daughter, by the way, Eternal, is ready for Heat culture because she won the Best Screener Award. Screener Award. Now, she's a figure skater and plays a little soccer, but figure skating is her primary thing. So basketball is new to her. So Tony, you know, kind of took care of her, which we appreciate, the great Tony Fiorentino. She's Best Screener. So selflessness, that's good. Now, if she could just make her bed, I'd be happy. But basically, we're pivoting. And so I want to thank Haywood Highsmith for taking a picture of my daughter. But I will say that I think Haywood's going to be back. It appears that all signs are that Haywood's going to be back. It appears that Caleb Martin is probably not going to be back. He has exercised his option. Josh Richardson is going to be back. He's exercised his option to stay. And so that's where we are. Is there anything as we speak on Thomas Bryant? Have you seen anything on Thomas Bryant?
I have not. I have, but it should also be assumed that Kevin Love is going to be back, right?
I think that's a likelihood. I don't think that's a given. I'll put that there. We'll see what happens. There are options for Kevin. I've always kind of looked at Phoenix for Kevin. And again, their situation's a little murky right now, but I haven't seen anything on Bryant. But anyway, what we're going to talk about today, the floor plan, is like where are the Heat as they enter this period, this free agency and trade period? We've already seen DeJounte Murray traded. There will be more trades in the days to come. So I'll ask you this. If we believe that Haywood's going to be back, if we think that Love is going to be back, if we think that Bryant may be back, Richardson is going to be back. We're waiting on DeLon Wright also, although I would expect he's likely back. They exercised their qualifying offers, or they extended their qualifying offers to both Cole Swider and Alondis Williams, who we've said seem like the next two in their program. Although I have my doubts about Swider as an NBA player, but we'll see. I think Alondis Williams is, but he needs more, I think, maybe development and also playing time at the same time to prove that. Where are they, Eternal? Like, did they address enough in the draft, maybe some of these undrafteds that come in that, and with Highsmith coming back, that like you would even feel comfortable with them if they don't make a major move during this stretch? Or are we still in the position that we were prior to the draft where this team needs a shakeup?
I still think they need a shakeup, but I do think they made some progress. I think adding Khalil Ware, and I'm going to be very unbiased because those of you that are on our Discord and that follow us on Twitter, I do not want to be up here positioned as the hope trafficker for Khalil Ware specifically, okay? All I'm going to say is that they drafted a very athletic 7-footer. With a particular set of skills that is very helpful to them as a floor spacer, potentially as a floor spacer. Also on the defensive side, someone that can guard the paint and protect the rim. They haven't had that in a very long time. Adam Simon talked about, called him a 3-and-D center. They spend a lot of time zeroing in on him. Per his words, they think that he can help them when Bam is off the floor, but also help them sharing the floor with Bam. Pat Riley talked about the same thing. Bam talked about there being some new possibilities with playing beside Khalil that they didn't have in the past. So I do think that is a step in the right direction. Pele looks like the type of very annoying player that Heat fans would hate on any other team. But one that they would definitely love on theirs. I mean, his tape, man, if you just go watch his tape, he just looks like a very sound hooper. He shot very, very well from three in college, and that was as a sh not so willing shooter. It doesn't seem like he wasn't putting up a lot of volume, and that just may have been within the system of Arizona. But I definitely think those two picks are a step in the right direction. They picked up Keshawn Johnson, who many thought would be drafted late in the second round, was able to get him as an undrafted player. He, to me, hoops like an all-pro defensive end. Even his draft day drip was, Jason Taylor-like in the mid-2000s. But he does look like the type of player that can give you some things similar to what Haywood has provided. He does look like a 3-and-D guy. I don't know too much about his three-pointer to start off, but I do think his energy, the defense, him playing above the rim, I could definitely see him being like a late rotation guy if they do find themselves like they did in 21-22 season, where they needed guys to step up, step in. Hell, this past season when they needed guys to step up, step in, I think he could come in. Him and Pele could come in. And give you some serviceable minutes, some sparks off the bench. And I do think he'll be an exciting player for the Summer League and also G League. So I do think they took a step in the right direction, but I definitely think they have to make some shakeup moves. And by that, I don't necessarily mean, you know, like one would like a Trae Young. That's not me trying to put a bug in the front office ear. Not like they need me to anyway. But if they could get somebody like Trae, who Woj said today, you know, that DeJounte Murray seemingly had a higher value on the market than Trae did because of his contract. So maybe Atlanta, who doesn't have their first round picks from San Antonio, maybe Atlanta try to work out a three-team deal, but that's getting ahead of ourselves. But if you could move Tyler Duncan for maybe some guys in Brooklyn, maybe some guys in Utah, San Antonio, whatever, just to kind of raise the floor of the team to go along with the young players that you acquired with Jimmy and Bam, if Terry is still there. If not, then Terry, Duncan, and Tyler are available. I do think they do need to make a shake-up move to position themselves higher in the conference.
I mean, all of this depends on Jimmy to me. I keep coming back to that. We can talk about tweaks at the back end of the rotation and, again, how you're replacing Caleb, who, you know, again, made a lot of contributions for them way beyond expectation. I keep coming back to this, you know, Brady and I, they let us watch that first scrimmage that he was in, and we both looked and were like, wow, this guy's a keeper. Like, this is more than just a two-way player. Now, did I anticipate that he would do what he did for them in the Eastern Conference Finals, that he'd become a part-time or regular starter? No. But he did, and he outperformed for them until he underperformed a little bit this past season. And, you know, that he is somebody they're going to have to replace in terms of athleticism, which is something that the roster has lacked, which is why the first-round pick, which I really haven't had a chance to comment on here on the podcast, made sense, because we talked about size, but I wanted athletic size, not a stiff. And they got an athlete. Now, the other stuff they can try to coach up, but they have skills in various areas that they can work with him. But they do have to replace Caleb. Obviously, if Jaime's still going to be here, then he needs to take another step. Jovic needs to take another step. If Highsmith is going to be here, I don't really know what the next step is for Haywood, but certainly they're going to need to at least get what they got out of him last season. And you know, like you said, what they get out of these undrafteds, whether Alondis Williams develops, whether Rashad or any of these other guys can contribute, you know, helps back into the roster. But again, this comes down to Jimmy. And I mean, that's where you're at. You are as good as your stars are, and you are as productive as your stars are productive, and as available as your stars are available. And you're not as available, but you're as successful as your stars are available. And you know, I haven't really had a chance to comment on this either, but I can say, if you've been listening to this podcast and you've been watching playback, I've said repeatedly what just happened was going to happen, okay? Which is that the Miami Heat were not inclined to give him an extension. And if they weren't going to give him an extension, then Jimmy Butler was essentially going to look at this as a one-year proposition. And so Shams's report on draft night was not a surprise, and I don't think it's a surprise to the Heat. And now it just becomes, okay, if you're keeping Jimmy, how do you get the most motivated Jimmy that you can, and how do you channel that to your advantage? And so that's why I've said all along that I don't think that for either party, Jimmy or the Heat, there's really a terrible scenario. Like, okay, so what's the worst case for Jimmy? He plays really well, and then somebody wants to give him a three-year contract after this season, and he stays very rich. And for the Heat, what's the worst case scenario? Okay, they get one really good year out of Jimmy, and then they don't have to have a 36, 37, 38-year-old on their books at a ridiculous number going forward. Like, there is no doomsday scenario for either side. So I just want to, again, be clear on that. But where Jimmy's head's at and what you're going to get from him does determine your success this season, okay? And so, again, these back-end moves and all the rest of this, I think the organization has to have an understanding of, okay, what are we going to get out of Jimmy? How much can we rely on Jimmy this year? Bam, for all the money they're giving him, and I'm in total support of that, as I said on the podcast that we did, but Bam's not a number one, okay? And so, I mean, he can be a really good two, and you want him to continue to develop as an offensive player, so maybe he can be a 1B and all the rest of that, but he's not a guy who's going to carry you in the regular season scoring 30 every night. A defensive end, yes, but not on the offensive end. So I will, again, say I like what they did on draft night. I like the direction they seem to be going, which is to get more versatility, more size, more athleticism overall. And I don't necessarily think that a Trae Young move, and I think this is where you and I may differ a little bit, because I said this when we talked about Trae a month ago. I don't know that putting that kind of money on the books for a player who's under 6 feet tall is necessarily what you should be doing right now, unless you absolutely know that Jimmy's not coming back after this, because you can't have after this season, because you can't have three contracts of that size, in my view, and succeed unless, again, it's a given. Like, Donovan Mitchell is a given. You put Donovan Mitchell with that group, with Jimmy and Bam, a motivated Jimmy, Bam in his prime, I'll take my chances of getting out of the Eastern Conference. Trae Young, for that money?
I have to push back, Ethan. I have to push back. And our guy, John Jablonka, well, actually John Jablonka, has provided a lot of data as far as Trae having Atlanta in the top 10 in a lot of different offensive categories. Trae is giving you at least 25 and 10 a night. And I think, you know, Trae doesn't get a lot of love, I don't think, as far as a playmaker, as a pure point guard. He will make guys' jobs a whole lot easier. He is somebody that shows up in the playoffs. Outside of that one playoff series against Miami, I know he doesn't have a lot of playoff history, but he did show up against Boston last year. They contained him a little bit, but he did have a 38-point game performance to push them to game six. You absolutely have to think that Eric Spoelstra could use Trae Young in some different ways than he's been used before, but you take advantage of the playmaker that he is, the outside shooter that he is, the gravity drawer that he's going to be and has shown to be. There are a lot of things that you can like, you know, whether that's using Trae, using Jimmy on the cuts that he's always on. Trae would be able to find him. Bam would now have somebody that can get him the ball in a lot of different ways, in pick and roll situations, getting the ball above the rim consistently, having teams have to account for Bam in that type of way. If you still have here's the thing. If by going what Woj said and by other reports, because now we've seen three or four reports that Trae's value isn't what DeJounte's value was, right? And we thought that Mikal had, you know, messed up the whole market. But, you know, it seems like the market has kind of reset itself to something reasonable. If you can get Trae Young and keep all four of your young players, like if you can get Trae and you keep Nico, you keep Jaime, you keep Pele and Kaleo, you are pretty much set up, whether Jimmy stays or not, you're pretty much set up.
Well, you do pivot to more of a Trae Bam build if Jimmy leaves. And again, Trae is on Bam's timeline. But there's two factors here, right? So there's the personnel cost, which, right, as you mentioned, is not as great as it is for some of these other players. And that's been consistent. This is not new that DeJounte's right value was higher than his. That's been speculated now for 3 or 4 weeks. So, again, we've operated in that space for a while here. But it becomes a financial cost. And I don't mean the financial cost where everybody says, well, Mickey's not going to pay the freight or whatever. That's not what this is about. It's the financial cost and the damage it does to your overall payroll when I know that they are not going to be in the second apron. I mean, they don't want – so it means you have to cut costs in other places. And my question again is Trae that kind of player? Now, of course, as we go forward, new TV contract is coming in, right? You know, some of these thresholds are going to be higher. You got to consider that. I always go back to the Bosch contract that was signed in 2014 that everybody panicked about. It actually would have been a great contract if Chris had been healthy because of the way that the cap exploded after that, particularly in 16. So what I'm saying is that you're in a situation here where it could be afforded. It could be. But mm-hmm. you are making a significant commitment, again, to a player who doesn't defend, who's really short. And I like the
He's
other things that
scored.
I get, I understand this, the skill level that he provides. Okay. But I'm also saying that it's a direction that takes you in a different place. And again, he's going to have to be your primary offensive hub, and you're gonna rely on him there. And there's not a, you can't make him bigger. Okay, so he is what he is. And I also wonder with Ware over the years with him as he gets older, because we do see sometimes these smaller guards they don't hold up quite so well. So I understand the concept. On the other side, though, what I want to talk about is in without a move like that, without a Paul George move, without a Trae Young move, without that kind of move, what else should they be looking to do here now that we kind of know who's coming back and who's not? Hold the thought. All right, I want to tell you about a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friend Lynette. You can find her at insurancebylynette.com. You can also find her on all of our content, literally. Like Lynette is always there. She's on the Discord. She's on playback. She listens to the podcast. We apologize to her for all of that. You can reach out to her at 954-609-8002. That's 954-609-8002 or insurancebylynette.com. She's based in Lauderhill, but she can service the entire area down here in South Florida. Life insurance, renter's insurance, health insurance, car insurance. We tell you about that all the time because she can get you car insurance, even if it's difficult to get for you. So reach out to her at insurancebylynette.com. All right, jump in, Eternal.
Well, you said what other moves can they make? And we've been saying this what for the last two off seasons. And I know it's probably a tired sticking point for some ears, but you have very young talent, right? In Jaime and Nico, and now the guys that you brought in. Just to remind people, Jaime was averaging 15 plus points. He broke the franchise record, Ethan. Right? He either broke it, he was about to break it. I think Wade was at 18 or something like that. No, he was about to break it. So Jaime averaged 15 plus points over 16 games and was giving you a lot of things that was really uncommon for a rookie, especially on a team that had just went to the finals. It was very encouraging before the groin injury happened. And as we saw, he just didn't look like he trusted his body after he came back. Nico went from not playing to then being a constant starter, somebody you can depend on for some different things, not necessarily scoring, but he did improve his defense drastically in the course of a season, made some good plays here and there, really had a playoff tested role where he was guarding Porzingis. Guarding Jason Tatum on some switches, Jaylen Brown on some switches, held up pretty well. There are some things to be very excited about, and particularly with those two and also the rookies that you brought in, who, to remind everybody, in this new CBA, in this new league, you're going to need dependable talent on cost control contracts, Ethan. But to answer your question, you have those guys on cost control contracts. You can move Tyler Duncan for some other veteran pieces that you spread out the money a little bit and you shore up your bench and you become a deep team like the 2019 Raptors, like the Bucks that won, like the we just saw the Celtics won. They won in a different way, but they had a perfect starting five. So they didn't need a super, super deep roster, but they were still deep because they had their starting five. The Nuggets, yes, they had superstar. One of the best players, the best player in the world, Jokic, but top to bottom, they had a very deep team. So you're going to need a deep team as you try to compete, whether that's in the playoffs or compete for a championship. So make use of the talent that you have and kind of spread it out. So if you can trade Tyler Duncan, maybe not for a Trae Young, PG, or whatever, you can move those guys, even Terry, for guys that make they maybe fit better and spread their money out.
Well, it sounds like we're all heading the same direction here, which is that, a Tyler Hero trade, or a trade headlined by Tyler Hero.
All right.
Not necessarily just Tyler, but like you mentioned, potentially Duncan. Then you have to figure out if you have enough shooting. Is the second round pick ready to step in right away? Is Swider ready to step in right away? I continue to reiterate again, I said earlier on the podcast, I just have my doubts that he's playable defensively. I think there was more to work with Duncan than there is with Swider, from what I've seen, at least. At least Duncan's, I think, awareness defensively is better than Swider's has shown to be to this point. But again, I trust them on development and I trust them on drafting. Some of the big picture moves lately, I haven't necessarily agreed with. But on those two things, I defer because the record lately on both has been pretty exceptional, actually. Again, Maxey aside, everybody's gonna miss 20 teams missed on him, and everybody's gonna miss on people in that range. But the other stuff has been very good. So again, I'll defer to them on that, but they have to know that they have shooting if they're gonna be trading both Tyler and Duncan, particularly if, again, Bam and Jimmy are still gonna be their two best players and you're not getting a Trae Young or somebody along those lines. I think that when you look at where the roster is right now, if you think that the kid Ware is ready to perform right away. And we're getting a little ahead of ourselves with starting him next to Bam. He hasn't played a preseason or even a summer league game yet. And as much as I know you like the talent, others like the talent, I asked him the question directly about his motor because it was an issue during the draft process. And his first training camp with the Heat is going to be a shock. Okay. They're going to shock his system and see what he can handle, and then they'll go from there. But if you can project him, even to be part of your front court rotation. Okay, which again is a stretch for a young player, okay, on a contending team. But if you can project him and you're saying you have Bam and you still have Jovic and you have Ware, and let's say you bring back Love, all right, then essentially that is you have your front court, your four or five. I know Sean's gonna get mad at me for mentioning positions, but you have that group. You've lost Caleb, you get it most likely. You have Haywood in the mix, potentially in that 4-4 mix, right? Okay, again, sorry about the position designation, but I'm just doing this for organizational purposes. All right, so you have Haywood in there as a wing, as a small ball four, etc. You have Jaquez, who can essentially play anywhere between 4 and 1. Okay, in their system. Okay, they were using him more, kind of coming off the ball a little bit. They had him handling the ball. So essentially, he's just a player. You can plug him in any of those spots. And then you have Josh for, I think, probably limited minutes, but you have him available. He was starting to find his role before he got hurt, 15 to 20 minutes. You maybe bring back DeLon, which I still think is something that they should do. You have him available for 15 minutes, potentially in that kind of rotation. And so again, then it just becomes, all right, are you removing Hero and Duncan for the sake of removing Hero and Duncan? Or are you finding something for Hero and Duncan that is what do you need essentially? Like, because I know your big push has been, and mine too lately, okay, has not as early as you, but has been get functional size, right? Get bigger at these spots. So what does that mean? Like, if you're trading Tyler and Duncan to reshuffle the roster, do you still need a starting four next to Bam when a lot of people are saying, well, now you've got Jovic and you've got a potential five next to Bam? Is that the type of player you should be going for? Or do you just need a bigger wing?
Well, I think you can go a lot of different directions. I want to remind people, if you haven't remembered, go look at Jovic before he came into the league. He was a guard and wing before he came into the league. His defense has stepped up to a level where you can trust him out on the wing just as much as you can trust Duncan Robinson out on the wing. He still has those guard-like abilities as far as his handles. So with adding a guy like Ware, you have new possibilities where you can slide Jovic down, which just increases your wing room. And it does add more functional size, Ethan. I do think as far as shoring up the back end, so like the guys behind, Nico and Bam and things of that nature, so where you don't have to rely on Kevin Love giving you any minutes at the center position, I do think adding, or if he is, I think adding somebody like Dorian Finley-Smith, right, from Brooklyn, somebody that can give you that Haywood type defense, give you some shooting, high energy player, just a guy that you would want on your roster anyway, that gives you that Heat culture like play. I think he would be a great addition, and maybe another guy from Brooklyn. But those type of players, I think, that are just those high level role players, those glue guys that you need to compete for a championship.
And that's what it comes down to here is are you making moves to compete for a championship, or are you making moves to kind of reshuffle the deck and sort of wait for the Boston storm to subside? I think that, again, we're going to get a sense of where the Heat think they are based on what they do here. And if they think that they can seriously compete with Boston, and again, Boston is going to have its team back intact, we believe. Derek White is sort of the one question now. Everybody else is signed to a significant contract. Them and the Knicks seem to be printing money. We'll see if that backfires on them down the road. It certainly didn't backfire on Boston this year, but a lot of other teams that did spend a lot of money didn't make it very far. So,
KP got
I
surgery. He won't be back to January.
well, that too, right? I mean, that's the thing. So, I mean, there is. Look, I think that the Heat are always going to see themselves as one of those teams. That's what Eric Spoelstra said before last season. It did not turn out that they were one of those teams. That they have to
Right.
be honest with themselves about that. Some of it was availability, and some of it was fit. And
Right.
I both of those, and now those things tie together. Maybe the fit would have been better if the players would have been more available. But the reality is, this was a team that was basically a flat net rating for the entire season. And I don't, probably, they should have obviously not have been in that play-in game, but they were. And
They
then,
were worse when they were healthy.
or right, exactly. So they have to be honest with themselves that there needs to be a shift here. As far as the fans go, and I know that's not their primary concern, but if they just bring this group back with, again, even if it's they got a draft pick that makes some sense for the team and that fans seem to be most generally excited about, that's not going to be enough to placate the hardcore.
No.
I don't think. And so I think they have to be conscious of that also. But we end where we started. They have to know where they're at with Jimmy right now. They have to know where they're at with Jimmy, because if the Jimmy thing is going to be a problem, and again, I've said that I think that people are overestimating the worst case scenarios here, okay? But if they think that the Jimmy thing is going to be a problem, and that they can't count on him to lead, then they don't have anybody to lead. They don't have anybody to get them over the finish line. And I think that has to dictate the decision for now and the decision for a possible pivot away from Jimmy. And I'm not of the mind that, okay, it's a catastrophe if Tyler Hero comes back. He's a good player. He's had some bad luck. I know you're shaking your head, but I don't think you just give him away. I don't, okay? But I do think it's in the best interest of Tyler and the Heat for a change of scenery. I am at that point.
I think I would say this on the Jimmy part. Windhorst, before the Shams report came out, said that Jimmy was happy to be in Miami, that he wanted to be in Miami, that he wasn't, if an extension was signed or not, he wasn't going anywhere. He was going to play in Miami. I think you're going to get a very motivated Jimmy. I think you look at the energy that he gave to Nico last year, the energy that he gave to Jaime. He went out of his way to coach those guys up, even spoke glowingly about them. That how they would contribute to the Heat long after he's gone, things of the nature. I think he is in that wise man stage of his career where he's, coaching the other guys up, especially guys he sees potential and talent in, guys that have a next gear, next level that can reach, and he wants to help them get there. Jimmy is going to be a motivator. He's a competitor dude, right? Like, so he didn't get the money he wanted. I think you're going to get the best version of Jimmy this season, something similar to what you got out of the 2021, 21, 22 season, 22, 23 seasons, as far as his production numbers. As far as the whole Tyler thing goes, Ethan, through our conversations in the back, conversations you've had with front office and things of that nature, we know they wanted to see what Tyler could do in the playoffs. Playoffs tell. You saw what Tyler could do. It wasn't, and then I get some people are going to push back and say, well, he was in a role and things of that nature that didn't really fit him, and he was the number one. And think, well, for some people, that's what you wanted to see. You wanted to see Tyler
Well, he had the
panic.
one game.
Right.
He had the one game, and then the rest of it was not good enough. And I
Right.
but again, half of it is what you wanted to see without the others out there, and could he carry? And half of it is what we've seen when the others are out there and the fit doesn't seem right. They're not stupid. They
Right.
know what they've seen, but they're also not going to give away a player who for nothing, who was, who they considered to be, a worthy asset. And they were upset a summer ago when the perception from the media in particular, and particularly like sort of the Boston Northeast based media, and the perception also that was put out through Portland through, you know, a certain reporter, was that Tyler was worth nothing. They're not going to then trade him for nothing. Okay. So I feel like it has to be done as part of a larger deal where you can present, okay, this is what we got. We needed more size. We needed a better fit. Here's the guys we got. It can't just be a salary dump. That's where I'm at with it. And the same honestly is true of Rozier, who we don't talk about as much, but who they never got to see in the playoffs because of that unfortunate circumstance, and had started to show some things, but does cost a significant amount of money. I mean, $24 million is not nothing. Okay. And so it applies to both of them. So I guess to put a bow on this, I think I agree with what you said at the beginning. I think they made some smart moves to go forward here a little bit, but it's not enough yet. Mm-hmm. And again, there's time. There's free agency. There's the draft. There's a chance to reshuffle the roster. I mean, there's usually a draft. There's the trades, free agency, and there's a chance to pivot on some things. And again, reshuffle the roster so that when it starts, it makes sense. We look at it before the season. We say, okay, we get it. All right, now let's roll. Let's see the development of some of these young guys, and let's see whether or not they can be more frontline players for you. All right, thanks to Eternal. Thanks to our sponsors, Prize Picks, insurancebylinette.com. Obviously, Sunday is a busy day.
Very busy day. We'll be back on playback tomorrow.
And then also we'll have Panthers parade coverage, free agency coverage, a lot of stuff going on. Make sure you follow the Five Reasons Sports Network, Five Reasons Sports on Twitter.
Ethan, before we get out of here, because we've got 3 minutes. Do you expect a trade before next Friday?
Yes. I think they'll do something.
I
think they'll do something. All right. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.